The Senate will be in order. Will everyone in the Senate and in the galleries please rise for the prayer of our chaplain and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
From the 111th Psalm we hear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Creator God, we know that we live in a time of ever-expanding knowledge at even faster rates. But we have also learned that knowledge is certainly different than wisdom. Wisdom comes from learning from our mistakes and doing better in our lives. So grant us humility to acknowledge before you our failures and in our repentance learn from them. Grant us your guidance as we deal with complex facts and bills that come before us so we may do what is wise and helpful. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keviney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Is here. Senator from 7th. Here, Senator from St. Francis. He's here. Senator from the first is here. The quorum being present, the Senate is in session. Senator from the 23rd.
No, need to go down the calendar.
Introduction of guests.
We haven't read the journal.
Oh yeah. Did you read the journal? You need to read the journal first.
Okay.
Are you looking at it?
Is it over here? Yeah. Madam Secretary, would you please read the journal?
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, 23rd day, Tuesday, February 14th, 2012. The Senate met pursuant to adjournment. President Kinder in the chair. Reverend Carl Gauck offered the following prayer.
President? Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with, and the same be approved as though having been fully
heard
read.
The motion, as many as are the opinion, it shall prevail. Say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from Johnson.
You.
You've got to get up early in the morning to be faster and louder than he.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. President. You're looking great today. Have some wonderful guests here. This is a busy day here in the Senate, and so we're so blessed with having so many great guests. First of all, an ag teacher from Archie, Missouri. He's here with the ACTE today, Matt McIntyre. I'd like to welcome Matt here as well. We have a lot of folks from Nevada, Taylor Norcross, Megan Harper, Aspen Slaniker, Ty Cliffman, Hallie Miller, Anna Clark, and Emma Rodriguez. We have some new doctors from the Missouri Association of Osteopathic Physicians. If they would stand, one is from the senator from Polk, and the other one's from the senator from Lewis's district, and that is Brian Stringham, who will be working at Bothwell Hospital, and Greg Cox from Kirksville. And then we have some bankers. This is the trifecta for Missouri bankers, Target bankers. We have Adam Barrett and Blake Robertson from Nevada.
Will all the guests of the senator from Johnson please rise or wave for recognition by the Missouri Senate and welcome. Senator from Buchanan.
It's an introduction of special guest. Today is the MCCTA Day at the Capitol, and from St. Joseph, on your left and my right, I have Regina Briggs and Dennis Merritt, and I would ask them to please rise and be recognized by the Senate.
We're delighted to welcome the guests of the Senator from Buchanan to the Missouri Senate today. Senator from 15th.
President, it is an honor for me to have so many friends and community leaders joining us here today in the Senate from a couple of municipalities in my district, and I'd like to recognize them. From Webster Groves, we have Kathy Hart, Debbie Salberg, and Tony Hunt, who do a great job in that great community. From Kirkwood, just to the west of Webster, and famous for the Turkey Day rivalry, of course, between those two cities, we have Mayor McDonald and Paul Ward, who's on that city council. From Sunset Hills, just to the south of the great city of Kirkwood, we have Dee Babbler and Mayor Bill Nolan here. And then from Creve Coeur, the wife of my chief of staff, Christine Panic, is also here. I'd like to make them feel welcome
as
they join.
Let's all welcome the guests of the Senator from the 15th, and please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate. And the Senator from Phelps.
President, introduction of very special guest today. On my right, your left, I have Denny Pogue from Salem, Missouri, and David Dittman from Salem, Missouri. They're here representing Missouri Independent Bankers. Please make them feel welcome today.
Welcome the guests of the Senator from Phelps to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Christian.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduction of special guest. Mr. President, it's rare that I have a number one team in the state here. But today, to your left, my right, over here in the gray shirts, last year, Nixon, Missouri started their first bowling team ever, and the very first bowling team that we've ever had took off and won the state championship. And I'd like to introduce them. The coaches are David Crow, Larry Hughes. Team members are Kyle Bates, Dylan Brentlinger, Shannon Burns, David Crow, Justin Lair, Jacob Nelson, Kristen Nunn, Casey Passeri, Trevor Roberts, and Nick Zumo. I'd like to present them with a resolution, and I'd certainly like to congratulate the number one team in the state of Missouri in bowling this year,
Senator,
Nixon, Missouri.
Senator, may the chair. Just welcome. Senator, the chair was going to inquire of you, but I'll do that in a minute when you... The senator from the 8th was on his feet earlier, and then the senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I'd like to introduce Brian Noller. He's from Northland Career Center. He's from Lee Summit, Missouri. If the body would make him feel welcome, I would very much appreciate
it. Welcome the guests of the senator from the 8th to the Senate. Senator from the 4th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Behind me in the upper gallery, I have a group of St. Louis University students, and they are here representing the Missouri Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. And I would ask this chamber to give them a very warm welcome.
The guests of the Senator from the 4th, please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate. They're from St. Louis U, Senator, you said? Or the Billikens are now in the 20 win category.
The Billikens are having a very good year. I have 2 degrees from St. Louis U.
They're back. The Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce some very special guests. To my left and to your right, we have students from a couple of our areas representing the DECA program. As most senators will know in the body, that DECA prepares students for further careers in marketing, finance, and management. From Versailles, Missouri, we have Zach Lewis, Evan Lewis, Christian Nackbar, Chelsea Weekin, Emily Neely, and Taylor Sutton, accompanied by their teacher, Becky Lehman. From California, we have Noel Sandoval, Brooke Holliday, Lacey Thompson, Cortland Gerhardt, and my intern from California High School, Leo Lutz. They're accompanied by their teacher, Julia Potter. I'd ask that the Missouri Senate make these students feel welcome.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Cole, these fine young people, to the Missouri Senate today. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce some special guests. It's Missouri Chamber of Commerce Day at the Capitol today, and we have the pleasure to have with us 40 to 50 business leaders from all around the state to observe their state government in action. We're glad that they're here. We hope they find their day very enjoyable, and we'd like to welcome them to the Capitol.
Let's welcome all the guests of the Senator from Stoddard who are here for Chamber Day. Where are they? Stand up. Stand up, please, so we know who you are. Great. Further introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from the 10th.
I have a concurrent resolution.
Send it forward, Senator. Care to explain the resolution, Senator?
No explanation necessary.
Shall be printed in the journal. Senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President. I have a resolution.
A concurrent resolution. Send it forward. You care to explain it, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, this resolution deals with meat inspections. It's urging Congress to allow some flexibility in the states. I know they did say 3 years ago, I believe it was, that the states' meat inspectors, we could go interstate with that. But you had to be very specific to exactly what USDA did. Actually, some of our inspection services are above USDA standards. But because we don't have the exact same computer program USDA does, we are prohibited from shipping interstate with Missouri state inspected meat. But this would help our agriculture industry, and I ask for it to be printed in the journal.
Thank you, Senator. It shall be printed in the journal. Concurrent resolutions. Introduction of bills. The Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, have a bill.
Send it forward, sir. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 792, introduced by Senator Brown, an act relating to the manufacturing of cigarettes.
Senator?
No explanation needed.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Lewis.
President, I have a bill.
Send it forward. Read the bill.
Senate Bill 793, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to the gaming monies.
Senator?
Yes, Mr. President. This, hopefully, after all the rocks we've kicked this year, I think this is the best chance we get to help our veterans and our education systems, and I encourage people to read it and support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further introduction of bills. The Senator from St. Charles, the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will be order of business of Senate Bills for Perfection, the informal calendar.
Senate Bills for Perfection, the informal calendar.
Senate Bill 572.
Senate Bill 572. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute with Senate for Senate Bill 572 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion that shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
To the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us. Senator, you have a pending amendment? Or?
Senator from the 11th has an amendment.
Senator from the 11th.
President, I would yield to any questions on my pending amendment.
Does any senator wish to be heard? For what purpose does the senator from Jefferson seek recognition?
I would request unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, proceed.
I have over here on my left from the great city of Arnold, Matt Unrein, the city administrator, Dan Krupa, the treasurer, my aunt Sandy Kanowski, city councilwoman, and we also have Bill Moritz and Doris Borgelt that I don't see over there, but I'd like to thank them and have the Senate welcome them.
Will the guests of the Senator from Jefferson please rise for a welcome by the Missouri Senate? We are on the amendment of the Senator from the 11th. Does any senator wish to be heard? Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speak against the amendment.
Proceed to speak against.
Thank you, Mr. President. I understand what the senator from the 11th is trying to do, and he's trying in wanting to create an enhancement related to these toxic exposure cases. I know it was a discussion that the senator from CAPE engaged in last year. From my the conversations that I've had with other people involved in this bill, it was something that I explored early on after filing the legislation, and you know, continue to run up against, as I spoke with people who are involved in these cases, that there were problems with what the senator from the 11th is trying to do. Basically, what we settled on was that the best approach was to go back to the senator from CAPE's language on subrogation last year. And we are, with this legislation, creating, if you will, an enhancement, a difference in how we treat toxic exposure with how we deal with every other injury that arises out of the workplace. So I think that the senator from CAPE's language is satisfactory in how we deal with what are very difficult cases. But the subrogation rights are important, and I think that the bill takes care of the problem that the senator of the 11th is trying to address. And so I am speaking against the amendment offered by the senator from the 11th.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on the amendment of the senator from the 11th? The senator from Stoddard.
Inquire the senator from the 11th.
Does the senator from the 11th yield?
I yield.
Yield, you may inquire.
Thank you, Senator. Good morning. How are you today?
Very good. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. I had the opportunity to...
Did you have some guests or something today?
Yes, I did have some guests, and they're here with us, and we're very pleased that they made the trip here to Jefferson City to see how things are going here.
Yes.
I took a look at some of your language in your amendment, and there were things that were somewhat concerning to me. I know there's, and I'm waiting to get some of the notes that I'd written out yesterday and last night, but there are some concerns about some of the language. I know that in instances where employees are subjected to some toxic exposure, and of course, I guess that toxic exposure could be a variety of things, such as dust and some different types of chemicals. And in that first sentence, it says, any other provision of the law notwithstanding, where there is an occupational disease by toxic exposure of an employee, such employee may claim permanent total disability benefits. So in that instance, the employee would still be alive, but there would be some type of disease or illness, or maybe, I guess, in a case like this where an employee may have sustained some type of permanent scarring by a burn, the way you've got that written, I interpret that as meaning that employee would be able to claim permanent total disability. Is that what you want to happen?
Yes.
That is what you want to happen. And so if an employee, say at a dry cleaner's, suffered some kind of burn and there was permanent scarring, and so you're saying that they would receive permanent total disability benefits in an instance such as that?
Well, what I was trying to get at was, as you remember from last year, was the cases where toxic exposure and those things, like mesothelioma, which are special, I don't believe that those should be under comp, okay? But if the bill goes through that they should be under comp, I want that person, given the nature of how these things work, that typically what I was trying to get at was mesothelioma. I'm sure that, you know, you bring up a dry cleaner, you bring up vapors or whatever. What I may not have in front of you is perfect, but I want some remedy toward those cases that everybody in this body knows about, where somebody, when they're 62 years old, and finds out that they have mesothelioma the last year of their life, that there's some remedy beyond comp.
Right.
The reality,
right. And I don't have an issue with that. I can live with that. But I believe the way you've got it written, it's going to take in a lot more than just mesothelioma types of problems. And because I guess you're defining toxic exposure the same as in the substitute here on page 11. Exposure to chemicals, dust, particulates, fumes, mist vapors, solvents, vapors, radiation, or other substances are materials that, when ingested, consumed, inhaled, or absorbed, are sufficient to cause disease, death, mutations, cancers, deformities, or reproductive abnormalities in humans. Is that, that's what your toxic exposure definition means? I guess what I'm saying is you're going to bring in a lot more than just mesothelioma types of diseases.
Well, You're aware that there are probably also things that are unforeseen that may well be like mesothelioma, the popcorn cases you've read about. So, I mean, if my language is imperfect, what I try to do is we grappled last year in several versions of this bill with a definition of toxic. And, you know, we might just agree or disagree. The sponsor of the bill is trying to address some of these issues. Senator from Cape has, Senator from Lawrence have. I mean, it sounds like there's not broad agreement on my amendment, but the problem that I foresee is still in this bill, we don't provide a remedy in the civil procedure for some of these horrific diseases that lead to death, that leave the families with that.
Yeah, I understand. I think your net's going out a little too broad.
I may not have built a perfect ladder with the rungs. I'd certainly take your input if there's a way of defining that. I mean, if we want to define that more narrowly, and that means that people would support the amendment, I'm happy to do that. But it might be a case where you're happy with how the bill is. You don't like my amendment. I mean, you know, maybe I'm totally right and you're totally wrong. Maybe you're totally right, I'm totally wrong. I'm just saying if this inquiry is, I want to narrow your definition because you capture too much, and then I'll support the amendment. If it's,
well, I guess I like we're at bill, a point where
I like the bill because we don't.
Right. I guess I'm concerned, like, say, at a grain elevator where people work and the company could employ all the devices necessary to try to filter the dust and ask that employees wear a mask and say down through the years they don't observe the safety regulations of the company. Under your language, well, the company would still be liable to make the additional payments of damages to the employee. So, I mean, I just don't believe your amendment is narrow enough, tight enough. But in saying that,
well, if you want to offer an amendment to the amendment and make it narrow and then support the amendment, I'm all for that.
Okay.
If it protects the mesothelioma and those people who die of these toxic diseases.
Do you want to narrow just to mesothelioma?
There's things unforeseen beyond mesothelioma that we don't know about.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So I think you're saying the amendment's broad, but the problem is,
what do you want to withdraw, like, the center, amendment, and then we'll, like, let's the, work on an amendment to narrow it?
I don't want to close on the bill yet, but I believe
I think the senator from the 23rd has a couple more amendments.
Okay, and will his in any way lock us out from doing that?
At least so. He says his amendments deal with co-employee liability. They don't relate to occupational disease.
Okay.
So.
Well, I think the senator from 13th has an amendment, too. So okay. I just want to make sure you have an amendment that does what we're... All right. He has an amendment that might narrow it.
Okay. Well, I'll sit down and let him... He's going to offer an amendment to your amendment.
I don't know if he has reviewed his definition of narrow to correspond with your definition
sure.
of narrow.
Sure.
But we'll see. Mr. President, would you send that amendment back?
Madam Secretary, Please send that amendment back. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
I have an amendment. It has not been distributed. I ask that I do not close until it has been distributed. It's a...
Can I do this?
Yeah. Mr. President?
Yes.
I'm going to withdraw it, get it copied and distributed while the senator from the 23rd does his amendment. So
send that amendment back. Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward. Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Mr. President, it has been distributed, so I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator moves the adoption. What is the number of that amendment?
Mr. President, I would move for the adoption amendment if I could explain it.
Senator, the version that we have is point 11S. Is that the one that's been distributed?
Yeah, the other one's not. Okay, I have two amendments out. That, I guess, is in the process of being distributed. It is short, and I would ask that it be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 2, offered by Senator Dempsey to amend Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 572, page 4, section 287.120, line 8 of said page, by inserting immediately after the word, quote, affirmative, close quote, the following, quote, negligent, close quote, and further amend line 9 of said page by striking all of said line and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, that purposefully and dangerously caused or increased the risk of injury, close quote.
Senator from the 23rd moves the adoption of Senate Amendment number 2. Senator, would you care to explain that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. After talking with the senator from Lawrence, both on and off the floor yesterday, what this language in the amendment would do is it would codify the Hooker case, and it is language that was actually perfected in the Senate last year. In the re-perfected version of the Senate bill last year, this was adopted. So it, I guess, better defines the intentional acts under the co-employee liability language. Be happy to answer any questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard on that amendment? Senator from Lawrence, what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the senator from the 23rd.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for your amendment this morning. Thank you for the conversation we've had. Getting to this point, I'd just like to clarify one thing for those who might be listening in the chamber or in their offices. When we say it would codify Hooker, we're not codifying the holding of Hooker, which said that there is no longer co-employee immunity.
Right.
What we are codifying is within the recitation of the history of the law on this issue, the standard that it had been articulated in that recitation of history had we not acted in 2005. Basically, we're taking it back to where the case law would have had us. So I appreciate you for
I appreciate you giving the clarification. I had the case in front of me, but I've got to sort it out here.
But, right. So it's the definition of what the standard would have been from the Robinson versus Hooker case. And I thank you for taking us back to the yard line we would have been on had we gotten everything included that we anticipated in 2005. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator, for your work.
Further discussion. Senator from the 15th, what purpose do you rise?
Inquire of the senator from the 23rd.
The junior senator from St. Charles, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I just wanted to thank you for offering the amendment. And just by way of background that was discussed a little bit yesterday, you know, I came at this thing, my understanding was that the goal of this section of the bill with regard to co-employee liability was to get us back to where we were. You know, if in 2005, when strict construction came into play and the Hooker decision ruled that because co-employees were not affirmatively excluded or given immunity, basically, for actions that are in the normal course of their duties, where we would have been and what does that language look like. And so we, over the last couple days, in working with you, and I appreciate it, trying to figure out where that was, it was an interesting process because, you know, the Hooker decision, sort of what it says is, and everybody's heard this a little bit yesterday, but a co-employee's liability, they're only liable if the something more test that evolved over case law over a number of years. And so it's more than a negligent act, but less than an intentional act. And that's where you get the language affirmative negligent act. And in the Hooker case, they sort of crystallized the case law by saying that the co-employee engaged in that the something more test required proof that a co-employee engaged in an affirmative negligent act that purposefully and dangerously caused or increased the risk of injury. And they cite the Taylor case. If you look at the Taylor case, that's not exactly what it says, but they state the standard there as being when they ruled that somebody had not met the affirmative negligent act or the something more test, they say it's not the kind of purposeful, affirmatively dangerous conduct. And so yesterday the senator from Lawrence had made reference to this Burns case, which actually is, I think, a little bit more clear, but admittedly is a little bit different than the Hooker case, which says an affirmative act, and this was written by Judge Limbaugh, that the something more test can be described as an affirmative act that creates additional danger beyond the normally faced, than that normally faced in the job-specific work environment. And so now that case was written in 2007. So if you look at what was in place in 2005, and the reason why I appreciate your amendment is because what that Hooker decision really did was, even though it's kind of awkwardly phrased, it does say the something more test requires proof that a co-employee engaged in an affirmative negligent act, which is what we'd always believed that standard to be, that purposefully and dangerously caused. And they pull that really from that Taylor case. So that Hooker decision was, I think, the court's best attempt to crystallize where we had always been. And I think that your amendment is verbatim this language, which I think is, if you're trying to objectively look at this and have a fair view of where we've been and what should be in statute, I think that's what you've got here. And so I appreciate your willingness to have it in here.
I agree with you and with the senator from Lawrence, and I think taking it verbatim, I think what we ultimately want to have happen is that upon passage, signed by the governor signing this legislation, is giving the courts clear direction. And I think pulling it verbatim from their opinion is going to give them the security they need moving forward.
Absolutely, because I think if this would have been, the punchline is, if this would have been in the statute in 2005, that Hooker decision never would have happened. Which I think is what we're trying to do to fix
and,
this issue.
You know, I mentioned in my opening remarks, I'm not building on the work that the senator from Lawrence did. He carried this language last year, and we adopted it on this floor. So I'm really just carrying forward his work and appreciate him continuing to be engaged in this and helping me with the legislation.
Well, I appreciate that because part of what we're supposed to do, I think, here is to really take an honest, deeper, objective look at what did the law really say. And I think, again, that's how this process on the Senate floor is supposed to work. I mean, we have a chance. We all have different strengths and input. And you put that into something that I think the product here works. And if you're looking, if you were dropped down from Mars and objectively looked at where we would have been in 2005, if we would have had language in the statute, this is it, and I think this goes a long way in correcting the co-employee issue. So, thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from St. Charles moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 2. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 2. Senator from the 23rd, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. It has been distributed. I would ask for a waiver of the reading. It is point 10S.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. Basically, we're just, adding language that is consistent with the other sections of the statute on talking about the employee and then or a dependent or any dependent of the employee. It's just making this section consistent with the other sections of the bill.
The senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
I close.
All those in favor of Senate Amendment Number 3 say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment Number 3. Further discussion. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment. I have an amendment.
Send the amendment forward.
Mr. President, I would move the adoption of the amendment. It is the amendment, Mr. President, that has previously been distributed. I did have a conversation with. This is the amendment the bill sponsor spoke against. The President Pro Tem of the body spoke against. So just so everybody's aware of what we're the prospects of success on this amendment are. It is the one that deals with essentially the meso issue and toxic. The language came from actually one of the center from CAPES, I believe, definitions of toxic on another issue. But it just for the body's knowledge, this is the identical amendment that was in front of us a few minutes ago. I just like the will of the body. I would just like to kind of point out something on all of this. It's been 2 years in the Missouri Senate that we've dealt and grappled with this issue. There's a lot of complicated issues involving business, involving civil rights, injured workers, employees who die, all of those things. Very complicated to find a difficult balance. I guess I would just implore that the Senate, despite the attempts of the Senator from CAPE, the Senator from Lawrence, and the Senator from 23rd, and a lot of other people in this body that have been very laudable efforts, I think we have to address this mesothelioma toxic issue and occupational disease in some way, and we can't throw it all in comp. That's my position. That's why I offered the amendment. I think in order for this to become law, we've got to deal with that issue. I think that there have been adjustments by the sponsor on other issues, but I think for this bill to become law, we probably should address this issue, and this is my attempt to do so. So with that, I'll be happy to yield to any questions.
The senator from the 11th moves adoption of Senate Amendment Number 4. Does any senator desire to be heard on that amendment? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senator from the 11th.
Senator, do you yield?
I yield, Mr. President.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I want to touch base of, originally, I felt mine more narrowly defined the issue you're talking about, that my amendment established that diseases related to toxic exposure shall not be recognized as occupational diseases under the work comp system, dealing with, of course, the mesothelioma issue. I think, just to reiterate what you have just stated,
I need a copy of my amendment.
Is at some point everyone has to realize we need to get to the finish line, especially on the co-employee liability issue as well as the second injury fund issue. We continue to pursue an avenue that we do not cross the finish line. The bill does not become a law, and I think that's what you're trying to explain to everyone. Once again, you can handle an amendment, I can handle an amendment on this issue. It'll get voted down. The numbers are extremely in favor of voting it down, but we're not accomplishing the goal of dealing and passing some cleanup language dealing with these court cases due to the 2005 law that I think you and I both stood up and said, I don't think you want to do this back then. We have to, at some point, deal with the mesothelioma issue. Are we just past this? It has unfavorable decision. I'm not saying the decision of the second floor, but you don't know we need to conclude that solving that issue possibly gets you a piece of legislation passed. So I'm going to support your amendment so that we have something in this piece of legislation that come May when we're trying to resolve something, we don't have to have a motion. Well, we need to exceed the differences because we failed to deal with this issue when it was in front of the Senate at the previous time. So
that I just think, Senator, I appreciate the inquiry. I just think it's a mistake to not have, I mean, when I met with the bill sponsor early on and the senator from Cape was there, you were in that committee hearing. I thought the most valuable, insightful inquiry was when the senator from Cape was discussing this with an attorney who handled these cases and said, you know, I distinguish between carpal tunnel and mesothelioma. And that kind of captured where I'm in. Carpal tunnel belongs in comp. Mesothelioma, a toxic exposure, that doesn't fit in comp. And also, as you know, because of the nature of that horrific disease, it's often not known until the last year of their life. And as that inquiry demonstrated to me, and I never forgot this, work comp will pay for the funeral. And, you know, I think people, everybody involved in this has been very well-meaning, coming from different perspectives, different biases. I appreciate the senator from the 23rd, the accommodations he's made to all of us, how inclusive he's been. We might just disagree, but I just feel the last step before we think about this becoming law, we better accommodate and distinguish those toxic cases somehow in occupational disease.
And that's where you and I concur.
And by the way, as far as the broadness compared to narrowness, I mean, I don't want to continue this argument, but keep in mind, the amendment later on, and I didn't get a chance to get this with the senator from Stoddard, where the toxic exposure is found to be the prevailing factor in the death. So the person in the grain elevator, the person at the dry cleaners, they would have to, again, show to the old standard of that being a prevailing factor, not just a contributing factor, but the prevailing factor in their death.
So the bar would be high.
The bar is very high.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think going on this early in the game, we're going to get to a point where we're going to need to exceed the differences because we failed to address this issue. So I'm going to vote for your amendment, and we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Well, and I just say thank you for the inquiry. I guess I would just say before you conclude, Sony has a better idea of a better way of getting at this.
Well, I have an amendment
I'm
out there, but it's going to receive the same conclusion as your amendment, that the senator from Stoddard felt your amendment was definitely more narrow than mine. I thought mine was more narrow than yours, but sooner or later, if the will is that strong on that issue and nobody wants to deal with it, maybe it'll be dealt with later.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion. Senator from the 34th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 11th.
Senator from the 11th.
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Is the amendment that we're dealing with the one, any other provision of law notwithstanding?
Senator, I'm having an awful time hearing you.
Can you hear me better there?
That's better.
Can we please take our conversations to the back of the Senate floor or to the Senate lounge? The debaters are having trouble hearing each other. Senator from the 8th. Please turn the volume down. Proceed.
Is your amendment the one, the subsection 3, talking about the...
Yeah, any other the bolded part is any other provision of law notwithstanding.
Right. Okay.
Just so you know, this was the amendment I offered before. The senator from Stoddard, we kind of talked about this with others. So I withdrew it, and then I just reoffered it again.
Do you have kind of an agreement with them that they'll accept it?
No, I don't want to characterize. I don't think the senator from 23rd and senator from Stoddard have changed their position. I just was telling them that from my perspective, exactly what I just told the senator from 13th, I think the body, in my advice on this bill, should try to deal with this issue.
Right. Okay. Well, my question is like, look at the first line. It says, where there is an occupational disease by toxic exposure, that such employee may claim permanent total disability benefits. Well, what about the case where there's an occupational disease by toxic exposure, but it isn't a total disability? I mean, I'm just looking at what I see as a potential flaw in the language. Like, what if it's just a partial disability that's caused by a toxic exposure? Does it need to say where there is a total occupational disease or totally disabling, something like that?
I think permanent total disability is a specific definition, right?
All I'm saying is what you've said there is that if there's an occupational disease, which doesn't have to be permanent total, then they may claim permanent total disability benefits. And I'm just asking if there's any loophole there. And
if
maybe not. I don't
know. I don't think so. I think this definition of toxic exposure, and then it continues on upon the death of such an employee.
Yeah, and then
that is caused by toxic exposure.
Then that would be the next question.
And then where the toxic exposure is found to be a prevailing factor in the death.
Okay, and then it says, upon the death, the dependent's personal representative or other persons may pursue a claim.
And Senator, that was my attempt to get at, you may know more about it than I do, but that's my attempt to get at mesothelioma, because as you know, some of these toxic diseases, the worker does not find out until the last year of their life. And so in compensation, you have to consider their dependents and all that.
Is it clear that there is only going to be one payout and one claim for the death benefit? I mean, when it says that the dependents, personal representative, or other persons, is it that each of them can claim, or is it understood very clearly that there's only going to be one claim?
I don't know that you would have to say one claim. I mean, I think that's the way there would be one judgment in the case.
And is that clear from this? I'm just wanting to make sure.
I'm not sure I've ever read that there's just one.
It says, an employer shall pay to the dependents, personal representatives, and other persons entitled, and then there's this amount. And so is it that they have to pay each one, or is it that...
Well, I think the comma modifies it, dependents, personal representative, or other persons entitled to such action.
Is there a standard way of dividing it up, or does the court just divide, say, this person gets this much, this person this much?
I think in all other civil things, that's how they're...
Okay, that's worded. Fine.
I don't think you have to put on there... And by P.S., there's only one settlement.
Didn't know. And then lastly, how much exactly is 156 weeks paid at the rate of 210% of the state weekly?
Senator, by our calculations, it's $253,000. I said this number yesterday. It's $253,259.76. If you remember on this bill, the senator from CAPE had... this same concept. His was much higher. I believe his of last year was $1.6 million.
Okay.
And I'm just trying a variation, you know, of that, because I think that you've got to, particularly on these meso cases, as far as this bill, distinguish between a mesothelioma and carpal tunnel. In my mind, they should both not be in comp.
Okay.
Carpal tunnel should be in comp. A toxic exposure, occupational disease, I think is a different category. And if it is within comp, then you have to set up some carve-out in some way.
Okay. Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you very
much.
Thank
you, Mr. President.
Senator from Johnson, for purposes of the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. No objection. I'd like to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection. Senator, proceed.
Thank you. We have a distinguished group from Johnson County, the Warrensburg Area Career Center, Director Rusty Sproat, Julie Akers, Brad Small, Emily Case, Ashley Cox, and Briley Danner would like to welcome them to the Capitol.
Would the ballot please make the guests of the Senator from Johnson feel welcome. Thank you. Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the Senator from the 11th.
Senator from the 11th. Do you yield to the Senator from the 4th? He yields, Senator, proceed.
I happily yield.
Thank you, Senator, and
happily,
thank you for offering this amendment. This is actually the sticking point that I had with the bill last year. This is probably the most offensive part. And if we're talking about last year, I think, didn't we pass a different bill last year? I think it was sponsored by the Senator from the 15th, where we listed diseases that firefighters get on the job, and there's a presumption that they are on the job. Now, they don't qualify for comp, but it does illustrate that, you know, we listed diseases, it's a presumption that they got these on the job, so they'll qualify for disability. And I see a kind of a contradiction here. We want to do it for the firefighters, but we don't want to do it for the guys that are in the factories or on the assembly line. And I completely agree with you. I think, you know, we ought to make it fair for everybody.
Right.
And the families are the ones that really get hurt. I mean, these guys, they probably make $35,000 or $40,000 a year, and they're killing themselves.
The law is gray. Life is green. Again, I get back to the inquiry in committee that I heard that I thought was very insightful. I don't think carpal tunnel and mesothelioma should be in the same category of law, because one was set up more ideally for carpal tunnel or the person who has a bad back from moving bricks. That's in comp. That was a bargain that was made between the business community and labor and others 7 decades ago to avoid all this civil problem, to avoid all those cases going to civil. It was a compromise. You know, Richard Nixon, President of the United States, tried to get the states to make all their comp laws fairly uniform. And I guess what I'm saying is all of that happened because that's designed for workplace. Does somebody get mesothelioma associated with their job? Absolutely. Does it involve other issues that this legislature should not preclude that person or their family from being there? The reality is, and I don't know this for certain, is if a legislature overreaches, if they don't try to find a middle ground, a lot of what we work on doesn't become law.
That's right.
I could be totally wrong, but I don't know. But it just appears to me if we leave some major issues like this undealt with, you know, does the business community have a perspective on this? Sure. Should it be listened to? Sure. Should that be the only thing we listen to? No.
Absolutely.
We need to try to find some balance and fairness in all of this. And as part of that balance and fairness, as according to me, carpal tunnel and mesothelioma are two different things.
I agree with you. I mean, on a couple of reasons, but on some of these diseases, they're a foreseeable casualty from the job, a foreseeable injury. And some of this toxic stuff, you don't know that it's toxic until after you've been exposed to it for a couple of years. You know, carbon tet. People used to use carbon tetrachloride to clean as a household cleaner until people realized that you could absorb it through your skin and it would deteriorate your liver. And people were dying from washing the sink. So, you know, things get developed, and you don't always know what the circumstances are.
Well, and do you really want a circumstance to where if you use something on your job, you're stuck with a workers' comp system, but it's found out that substance is, that toxin is harmful to you in the long term, but when you go home and you use it or something, you can pursue all the civil remedies you want to, but if you use it at your job,
right,
you're stuck with that.
Right.
I mean, that's what I kind of
That's what I'm trying to break out of this bill.
Right, right. The guy that works next to the dirty factory versus the guy that works for the dirty factory and their neighbors.
Or the neighborhood that lives next door.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing that came up in committee was that, you know, so the neighborhood next to center, next to the asbestos manufacturer can sue that company for polluting the river in the center from 13th District. But the worker who works there can't. I don't think that's fair.
I would agree with
I
you.
I don't know if my amendment is entirely fair, but again, it's an attempt to try to get there imperfectly.
Well, you know, and if it does by some chance get on the bill, I would imagine someone's going to adjust it.
I don't know that, you know, we've got a whole other body to get through. I don't know what the other side does with this. But I guess, you know, this is the first step of this bill. My point would be, why don't we leave it on there? If it's an imperfect thing, then at least it retains that issue that we could talk about if there's a conference on this bill with the House.
I agree. That's the political way to do it.
So.
Thank you, Senator.
We're on the motion of the Senator from the 11th. Does any other Senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Cape, what's the purpose to seek recognition?
To speak on the amendment briefly.
Proceed, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I appreciate the indulgence of my colleagues, and I appreciate the Senator from the 11th, and I've had an opportunity to visit with the Senator from the 13th about the amendment that he's distributed. I want to kind of just walk through where we are. We had an inquiry with the Senator from the 11th yesterday. I don't want to rehash all those things, but I want to see if I can share with the body kind of the adventure that we're on and maybe where we'll all end up. Last year, as we dealt in my inquiry yesterday with the Senator from the 13th, we isolated really three issues that we're trying to resolve within the workers' compensation system. In the state of Missouri, post-2005 reforms and the following appellate court decisions and trial court rulings that have affected workers' compensation and where we are. Those three issues, again, briefly, are co-employee liability, as spelled out in the Robinson versus Hooker appellate court case. The Senator from the 23rd, I appreciate his efforts in getting back to the position that the Senate passed and held steadfast to through conference committee report with the House last year in Senate Bill 8. That fixes the Robinson versus Hooker co-employee liability issue without doing anything more to workers' compensation. The second issue that we have not addressed here, but we will, is the second injury fund. The third issue, what we're talking about in this context, is occupational disease. And within occupational disease, I think both Republicans and Democrats, individuals in this Senate, of well-meaning intentions on both sides, recognize that within occupational disease, there are ostensibly different severities and types of occupational disease. One is degenerative disc disease, carpal tunnel disease, some of those repetitive motion injury diseases that are occupational in nature, and then others are toxic exposure cases. And toxic exposure cases, I think individuals do agree, are more special, to put it lightly. They're horrible ailments. There are, in my opinion, three ways in which to deal with occupational diseases once you come to that resolution that toxic exposure occupational diseases are special in nature. You can do as we have in this bill and deal with them in a marketplace environment, which is the subrogation rights, because I do believe that once these individual corporations start spending their own money, that they will now have a financial incentive to clean up their work environments. That's what the Senator from the 23rd is doing. That's what the Senate ultimately came to a conclusion to do last year. The second way in which to deal with this is the way that the Senator from the 11th currently proposes in his amendment, and that is to give a bonus for lack of a better descriptive term, when you are diagnosed with a toxic exposure case within the workers' compensation system. We are going to say that this is a special nature, a special type of disease that is born out of your work environment, and as such, we are going to give this special enhancement in benefits. I personally would prefer to go the way that the senator from the 23rd has done, because, quite candidly, once you do this and you say that it deserves a bonus, and I've listened to the senator from the 11th and his argument that, you know, individuals that live next to this plant have a circuit court action, people that work in the plant don't have a circuit court action. No matter what you structure the bonus as, it's going to be willfully inadequate compared to civil remedies at law. And I would say that if you want to go this type of route that the senator from the 11th has proposed, I would respectfully submit to you that the way we should go is to carve out toxic exposure occupational disease from workers' compensation protections. Now, the Senate has spoken pretty loudly on that last year when I proposed that amendment, and it was rejected. That's how we got to the position that we've gotten to with the subrogation rights, to try to get employers to change their behavior as it relates to their industrial complex and in their work environment, the industrial hygiene practices that are implemented at these corporations. And I think it will, with elimination of the subrogation rights, for reasons that I've articulated at length here. So with that kind of as a background on where we are, I am going to be voting and encourage the members to vote no against the senator from the 11th Amendment. I do not think this issue is over. I have a sneaking suspicion that the governor on the second floor may have something to say about this issue, and that it may be revisited. But as often the case when we deal with the governor on the second floor, our best communication with him is via a veto message. So we get to know exactly where he's at. So I would respectfully request that the Senate work with the senator from the 23rd. We reject the senator from the 11th Amendment. We move these co-employee liability and occupational liability issues over to the House. The Senate stands fast against the House trying to add anything superfluous to what the Senate has done here. We hopefully get that bill to the governor's office, and either the governor's going to sign it or we'll at least finally have a veto message publicly where the governor feels on this issue. And I think that is a way early enough in this session that we can still leave ourselves some time to deal with it. So with that being said, Mr. President, I would encourage the body to vote no on the senator from the 11th Amendment, and work with the senator from the 23rd to get this bill in the way that he's crafted it at least onto the governor's desk, so that we can get more meaningful input from the second floor. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the motion of the senator from the 11th. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President.
The senator from the 11th has moved to the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 4. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. The amendment fails. We're back on. Senator from Stoddard, what purpose do you seek your recognition?
Mr. President, I seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my left and on your right here in the lower gallery seated, and I'd ask that they stand, are Bud Joyner from Poplar Bluff, Danetta Norris of Poplar Bluff, and Dale Norris of Poplar Bluff. They're guests from Three Rivers Community College, and they're with the Missouri Council of Career and Technical Administrators. So I'd like the body to welcome them.
The body, please make the visitors from the Senator from Stoddard feel welcome. We're on the motion of the senator from the 23rd. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Once again, appreciate the work of the senator from Lawrence on this
last year and again this year. I renew my motion.
The senator from the 23rd has moved to the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill 572. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from 23rd, you're recognized for the perfection motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate substitute for Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 572 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
Heard the motion. The senator from 23rd, all in favor. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from 23rd has moved that Senate Bill 572, as amended by the Senate substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed.
Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate bills for perfection, formal calendar, Senate Bill 484. Senator from the 2nd. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. President. I would like to place those or lay those bills over on the informal calendar.
It will be laid on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 450.
Mr. President, I also would like to place that bill on the informal calendar.
That bill will be placed
on the... And, Mr. President?
Senator from the 2nd.
Let's seek unanimous consent to introduce some special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the upper gallery, behind me to your front, Mr. President, I have a group of great Americans from St. Charles County, and the Vision Leadership St. Charles County group is up visiting the Capitol today. They are the leaders of the businesses and the communities in St. Charles County, along and some of the future leaders of St. Charles County. They're up, going to spend the whole day with us. We're going to have lunch outside our office, and they're going to be hanging around and learning about state government. So I'd like to make them feel very welcome.
Would the guests of the senator from the 2nd please rise and the body make them feel welcome. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
On the order of business of reports of standing committees. Senator from... I'm sorry.
We're on the order of business of reports of standing committees. Senator from St. Francis.
Mr. President, your Committee on Financial Government Organization Elections has a report.
Thank you, Senator. Please send it forward. When it arrives at the dais, Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Financial and Governmental Organizations and Elections, to which was referred Senate Bill 773, begs leave to report that it is considered the same and recommends that the Senate Committee substitute here to attach do pass. Respectfully, Senator Engler, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 22, House Concurrent or House Substitute for House CR3 and HCR13 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, and Resolutions and Ethics?
It will be so referred. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the formal calendar.
Senate Bill 77. Senator from Polk. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I request unanimous consent of the Senate to suspend Rule 52 for the purpose of taking up Senate Bill 573.
773,
I'm sorry. The reason I'm doing this is because I think most in the chamber are aware of the filing dates that have to be moved back, or I feel like they have to be moved back to at least give the commission a chance to be able to come up with a map for the state of Missouri. And I know this is probably an unusual request to suspend the rule, and I will be asking for unanimous consent to do that. And the main purpose of that is to give us enough time to get a map. This is pretty well the portion of what I'm trying to do on that. So I guess with that, Mr. President, I would be glad to take questions, but it's pretty simple. We're just trying to move the date back and simply to get it through the process of the Senate and the House.
The senator from Polk has asked that the Senate Rule 52 be suspended for the purpose of taking up Senate Bill 773. Does any senator... Hearing no objection, the senator, senator from the first.
Can I inquire the senator from Polk?
Just let me see where I'm at right here. Senator, are you objecting or do you want to have an inquiry?
I want to have an inquiry of the senator from Polk.
Senator, yield to the senator from the first.
I do.
Thank you, Senator, for yielding.
I don't plan to object. I'm just trying to get a handle on which rule you're asking us to suspend.
Rule 52.
Rule 52.
Right.
All right. And as I read it, what this does is... streamlines the process as far as you getting this bill through the process. It doesn't have to lay on the table for a day. And
that's correct.
Is that what we're doing?
That's okay. Exactly what we're doing.
All right. You know. And that will fast-track it over to the House, I take it?
Correct.
Okay. And then do we have any indication from the second floor as far as the governor's intention of signing this bill into law?
My understanding is they are on board with this and will sign it if we can get it to them in time.
Okay. So how much time is this going to save us in the process?
Well, it's going to take every day we got. And that's probably what the House having to suspend some of their rules to get it through the process.
Right.
They probably will have to, too, because the 28th being on a Tuesday, you about have to have it done on the Thursday prior to that Tuesday just to be able to, for one, to make sure everybody knows we're going to delay the filing dates instead of waiting until that Monday or Tuesday.
It'd certainly be helpful in the process if we had some leadership from the Secretary of State on this issue, wouldn't it?
This has got us in quite a bind, too. Mainly the court systems more than probably the Secretary of State.
I'm sorry?
It's probably more the court systems because we didn't get it done the first time.
Well, yeah, but that's behind us. I guess the point that I'm trying to make is I believe the Secretary of State has actually come out publicly and said if we don't move this thing through the process or if we don't pass this piece of legislation and our time expires, that she's actually considering or is going to move forward in us running in the 2001 maps. I mean, she's had a public statement going in that direction. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is correct.
Okay.
She says she's going to open up with those maps, which I think is a real problem.
Well, it certainly is a problem. I mean, it's a constitutional problem that's heading to federal court if that's the direction she thinks she's going to go. But the point of the fact is we're trying to move through this based on, you know, judges submitting unconstitutional maps, the Supreme Court making the right decision that these maps weren't constitutional. Right? So we're trying to move it through the process, but it sure would help if we had a little help from the Secretary of State.
Correct.
On this issue.
It would be.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Hearing no objection, the Rule 52 is waived. Senator from Polk. Now you may make a motion to bring the bill before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 773 with the committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Polk.
Mr. President, I now move that the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 773 be adopted.
Senator, you'd like to explain your bill?
Mr. President, the only thing that's in the substitute was an agreement with the Secretary of State's office and the local officials to pay for any expenses the locals might incur because of the changing of the date, and that isn't agreed on. I don't have a problem with that and would like to pass that within the substitute.
Okay, the senator from Polk has moved for the adoption of the substitute for Senate Bill 773. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Chair of the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
Do you yield, senator? You may proceed.
How you doing? Good to see you. Hey, I as you know, you had discussed this you discussed this with a lot of, that's why I didn't object to your taking up the bill, but I want to take this opportunity. On the Senate substitute, mm-hmm. Could you go over the part you just explained about the refund and how that's going to work? You said the cost, this is an agreement. You said the Senate committee substitute adds a component that was not in the base bill, and it involved an agreement with the clerks and whoever.
Right.
Would that be like the filing fees and all that?
My understanding, whatever expenses they would occur through advertising, through publication, whatever they would occur by changing this, by what we're doing, the Secretary of State would
advertising the new date?
Pardon me?
They would have to advertise the new date if this became
yes.
law?
Right.
Okay. And you just foresee that this, just so the body kind of understands, the dates themselves, from moving to March 27th to April 24th?
Correct.
The significance of that is what, do you think that there's a potential that they could have a map by then, or what?
Right. So hopefully the commission can get a map done by that point. If they don't have one by then we're getting pretty close to where you have to officially start, the Secretary of State's office have to be printing ballots, you'd have to start looking at the August primary. So I want to say this is one last shot to get it done within the state, and if we
right.
don't.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you for the inquiry, Senator.
Thank you.
Any other senator? Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
Yes, I do.
I just want to make sure that all offices are in this time period. My next personal political run is for the door. Will this allow me time to file for that office, for that run?
For which office?
The door. I'm running for the door.
Well, I don't know.
Thank you.
Yep.
Senator from the 4th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
To inquire, Senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, you yield.
I do.
You yield, Senator. Proceed.
Senator, so this only applies to this primary?
Pardon me?
This only applies to this upcoming election?
Correct.
We're not changing the date going forward?
All filings would be moved back for whatever the offices are.
But 4 years or 2 years from now, it's going to go back to the old dates, to the
correct.
to the February, March?
Correct.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Senator from the 2nd, what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of the Senator from Polk?
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, what motion is on the floor, right? What did you just make?
The motion I made was that the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 773 be adopted.
So you're for print and perfect motion for 773?
I have not made the perfected motion yet.
Okay, and you're adopting what, Senate Committee substitute?
Correct.
Oh, there it is. Okay, I see it. Is there any reason why we're dealing with all the elections instead of just state Senate seats, since the House maps were found constitutional, and they're going to live under that. The Supreme Court's ruling tomorrow on the federal congressional maps, so those look like they're going to be set in stone. The only ones up in the air is state Senate. Is there any reason why we're not just dealing with state Senate, and we're dealing with all the other offices in this?
Why we're putting everybody into that?
Yes.
Simply because my belief would be, for example, if you wanted to file for a Senate seat, you wouldn't be able to file for that. So if you open the date up for everyone else, and 2 days before, we decide what the Senate maps were.
you'd probably only be giving people like 1 or 2 days, if that was the scenario, to be able to file for a Senate seat. Even whether they were a local, an individual, or whether you're elected House member or
No, I guess I'm saying why are we not delaying filing for the state Senate seats only and allowing filing for the state House and U.S. Congress and everything else to proceed as planned? So, because they're the only maps up. That's what I was trying to get at.
But Senator, I'm trying to kind of think what you're saying there.
So you're saying
why did we just do the Senate?
Yes.
And I think that was what I was trying to say there, because everybody else could be affected by that. That you wouldn't have a opportunity if you only knew a day ahead what the map was. I think that would be a legal challenge for anybody to try to file for that office within a day.
I don't understand if you're running for state Senate and you delay it back, you know, a month or whatever it is, you would know ahead of time. So you're saying if you're a state rep.
Senator from Polk, do not turn your back on the chair.
Okay. All right. If you was a House member, and let's just say your House seat was open and you filed for your House seat, then all of a sudden, the day before the Senate became, or you got a Senate map one day prior to the March the 27th, whatever the date was, and he wanted to jump in that Senate race, then you only have one day for somebody to file for that other seat, possibly, because that seat then would become open for a representative.
So if you're a state House member and you're just wandering around for Senate, couldn't you file for a state House seat and then just unfile and move to the state Senate, or unless...
You could, but I would assume if somebody wanted to take that House seat, theoretically they would only have one day to make that decision. That's where I think the legal challenge should come in, and I'm no attorney.
All right, so then why not just make it for state House and state Senate seats? Why throw everything else in the mix?
I just think it's, for myself, I just think you have to move them all back, because that scenario could play out probably in all scenarios. Same thing if you're a local elected official. You might decide all of a sudden you're going to file for that office seat back home, but all of a sudden you see a Senate map come out, then you say all of a sudden, hey, I want to run for that. So for somebody to file for that local level, that seat would only have, like, say you didn't file for it, it'd be one day that they'd have to pick somebody. And I just think that could be problems. I'm no legal expert, but that's my view of what could happen. And that's why I think you have to move them all to make sure it's fair for everybody.
So what other offices? You got statewide, you got U.S. Congress, you got a circuit judge, or is what else? What else is all?
It would be, all you're doing is changing the current filing date. Everybody has to file on February 28th. You just move it all that back to March 27th. So you're just extending it back for everybody for 30 days, or roughly 30 days.
Okay. You know, I understand your argument. I do have an amendment. I'm actually going to ask that it be redrafted to include the state House as well. I think we should be, you know, I think you pretty much know if you're going to run for judge or if you're going to run for something. I can understand if you're in the state House and if you're wanting to run for state Senate and things. So. I'm going to offer an amendment as soon as it's drafted here, just to say this only pushes back filing for the Office of State Rep and State Senate. Let the body decide what they want to do. But I think pretty much all the others should stay the same, since these are the only ones whose maps are really kind of in question.
Tell me, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't hear you, but the amendment you're doing is doing what now?
We'll only move back the filing for the Office of State Senate and State Representative.
Only would move the state Senate back.
Yeah.
State and leave Senate everybody else
and state and state House. So I'll, as soon as that's drafted, I will offer that. And if you want to discuss that now, you can discuss that now.
Just because this is so time sensitive, Senator, with all due respect, I probably would not be in favor of any amendments to it.
No. I thought you were wavering there for a second, and you might come over to the...
Sure. We can stand it easy. You can think about it for a few minutes.
The future of the Secretary of State's office, when whoever's in that next position maybe can make all these changes and get all this worked out.
Well, it's only affecting 1 year, so whoever is there next year wouldn't have to deal with this. But I think that all the people that are running for Congress and things of those nature are planning on to February 28th. And just because the state, the commissions couldn't get it done, and the courts messed it up and stuff, I think you have circuit judges and everything that is down there. I think let's just deal with those that are affected. And I can see your point on the House districts, so we're expanding the amendment to include the House districts. But we'll see where the body lies and see where we go.
All right, Senator. Well, are you offering the amendment, or have you offered it?
I'm going to offer it. It looks like they're printing it off right now, and they're going to run it over to me. So
I understand. My ask would be that you didn't, but I also understand that you're going to probably be. But I would sure instruct the body to vote it down, or I would ask the body to vote it down.
Okay. Yep, looks like it's coming. Oh, he's waving. He's got it. He's handed it off. No, coming off them.
Senator from the second.
I have an amendment. It has not been distributed.
Amendment forward. Has it been distributed? Has it been distributed?
No, it has not. I would ask that it be read.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Roop to amend Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 773, page 1, section 115.345, line 9, by inserting after, quote, primary, close quote, the following, quote, for the offices of state senator and state representative, close quote, and further amend page 2, section 115.349, line 38, by inserting immediately after, quote, candidacy, close quote, the following, quote, for the offices of state senator and state representative, close quote.
Senator, would you like to explain your amendment? Senator from the second, would you like to explain?
I believe I've already kind of explained it, Mr. President, so I'll gladly answer any questions. If not, I renew my motion.
Senator from the second, moves for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the first.
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the senator from the second.
Senator from the second, do you yield?
I yield.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. Have you ever heard the old saying, misery loves company?
Yes, I have.
Well, I'm trying to figure out why you don't want to be a company to others' misery.
I'm a senator. I deal with everyone's misery in this body every day.
So what you're trying to do is because of the failure of six appellate judges to actually offer up a constitutional map, which was struck down by the Supreme Court, and now has to start through the process again, and the senator from Polk is, I applaud his efforts, so that hopefully we can get a map through the process, before the time runs out. So he wants to move it for all concerned. And whether you're a House member that doesn't have a certainty of what your map's going to be, or whether you're a Senate member that doesn't have a certainty of what your map is going to be, what you'd like to see is that all statewides and those running for federal office enjoy that certainty, even though others that might have to make a decision based on what that ultimate map is, on what they're going to do in the future, whether they're going to run, for that Senate seat or that House seat that ultimately comes out in that map, or they make a decision that they're going to run for a statewide office or run for federal office, whatever that may be. So what you're trying to secure is certainty for yourself while others still are uncertain.
No, it's not at all my intent. My intent is that I think that if you're going to be running for U.S. Congress, you're going to find out tomorrow in the Supreme Court what your map is. That's already been working through its process. This body did a great job on the congressional redistricting, And so, you know, we're at a level of certainty, you know, for that office. All the other statewide, there is no district, you know, so it's the filing time. And in your circuit judges, you know, that's not going to be up in arms. It's the only thing that are dealing with the State House and the State House and the State Senate. So I'm just trying to say everything should continue to move forward, especially in light that tomorrow we'll know on the congressional, you know, maps. And if those are something crazy happens tomorrow on the congressional maps, which I don't think will happen, you know, then we can always, you know, take this back out. But I think the only ones that are really dealing with the uncertainty is the State Senate and the State Representatives. And I just think that everything else should move forward. These are the ones that are affected, and these are the ones that should be moved back.
It certainly gives those that have the certainty the ability then to file, all right, for those offices, okay? And I'll use myself as an example, okay? Let's say I don't have a Senate district to run in, all right? And I decide then I want to run for Congress in the second, all right? Or I want to run for Secretary of the State or Lieutenant Governor, all right? You have those that have the ability and already have the certainty to file for those offices, correct?
Yeah, anybody
can
file.
And then somebody who's waiting to see what their Senate district is going to be has to sit back and wait, you know, until they actually get a map.
Right, you could have people that could file, and then when the maps come out, they could say, okay, I'm not going to do here. I'm going to unfile and then file for this office. So if you're thinking about running, it's in your head. So you'll know on February 28th, so you could go ahead and file for something else, and then you could always back out and change your mind, you know, and then file for the state senate or state house, depending on what the maps are. So I still think it gives everybody the opportunity to file for whatever office. I just think that it's only dealing with these, and we should just deal with these.
And you don't think that would have a negative effect on somebody's, like, for instance, if they have an opponent and that individual can't make up their mind what they want to run for? I see a lot of that in the news, you know, these days. It might be one of those things, well, a guy filed for this, but then decided to run for that.
Right.
You know,
you've seen people file for things and then back out and then file and run for something else.
And again, Senator, I'm not, you know, blaming the situation. It's nothing that...
Oh, right. Nothing
that,
we did.
You
know, we actually did a great job. We actually did our job on the U.S. congressional maps, and we got it through here over the governor. And now we've worked our way all the way through the Supreme Court. We won in the lower courts. We won all the way to back up. And now the final appeal is before the Supreme Court tomorrow. So, you know, we've done a great job. And part of it is I'm kind of looking at all the hard work we did, and I want to make sure that...
Level of conversation keeps rising. Let's be quiet so the senators can debate.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You know, so that's kind of part of my motivation too. Is all the hard work we did on the U.S. congressional maps. You know, there, and we'll find out tomorrow. But you know, I'm fine. I just wanted to throw this out there for the bodies. Let them vote and decide on it. And then move on. But I thought it was something we should definitely, you know, at least vet a little bit.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We're on the motion. Senator from the second. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 23rd, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Speak against the amendment.
Senator?
Respectfully, I disagree with the senior senator from St. Charles. I think for the reasons outlined by the senator from Polk and the senator from the first, I think, you know, I've seen in other filings where there's a cascading effect when people file for office. And, you know, I think for the reasons mentioned, there are a number of factors to consider as this Senate filing affects possibly other races. I know that this body has seen county commissioners run for state Senate, and I just think for the sake of actually having less confusion, giving everyone the same filing date is the proper direction. And thank you very much, Mr. President.
We're on to Senator from the 11th. What purpose do you seek recognition?
May I inquire, Senator from second?
Senator from the second. Do you yield?
I do.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, good morning. I just wanted to point out, I guess we could have probably avoided all of this if the Senator from Polk hadn't had to, you know, come and waive the rules, because what you want to try to do in bills like this is work them out in committee maybe and deal with those things. But it's tough to do that when you hear a bill and vote it out of committee the same day, like happened in committee yesterday. So I just want to make sure.
You know,
normally,
I wanted to give you
this
that opportunity
would be resolved
to talk
in
about
committee,
that.
But when you ram something through, now the calendar, beyond the control of the Senator from Polk, who's merely a helper and facilitator today. But, you know, these issues would be worked out in committee, but
that usually can't happen when you hear a bill and vote it out the same day.
Or if I'm not on the committee. So I wasn't on the Senator from Polk's committee, so this is my first chance to weigh in on this.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to...
And really, you want to know the motivation?
I just wanted to point
out... The true motivation?
What's that?
I wanted to show the good people from St. Charles County Vision leadership that the junior senator and from St. Charles and the senior senator, not only, we don't always agree on everything, but this is a good way to have peaceful discourse. So this is really just a big way just to entertain some of our people from St. Charles County to make them feel very, very included in the whole process.
Okay. Well, thank you, Senator. Thanks for the inquiry. Just as a pointer, I know the calendar has forced him to do that.
Senator from the third, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Just to speak on this.
Proceed, Senator.
I wanted to clarify, since I'm the chairman of the committee that went through, and in fact, we heard it on Monday after being referred last Thursday, did not, as my policy as the committee, not vote on it the day that we heard it, and we voted on it today, 2 days afterwards, after everybody got the opportunity to look at the bill and see if anybody had any problems. And then we voted on it in that gallery at 9:45 this morning. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just request the body vote the amendment down.
We're on motion. The senator from second. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Boone, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Inquire the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
And Senator, I think you did a good job pointing out that the reason some of these extraordinary things are taking place is because you're concerned, and I think many of us are, there's a timing issue, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and as I understand the amendment, Mr. President, can we have some quiet and chamber, please?
Take our conversations outside or lower them down.
Proceed, thank you, Mr. Senator. President. As I understand the amendment from the Senator from the second, it's going to split out some from the others. What I see that leading to probably is some notification differences for the county clerks, which is going to have a fiscal note attached to it, which is probably different than it is right now. And I would suspect that if we have to go through a change in the fiscal note, that is going to change the timing that you probably envisioned and how this could move. And so, therefore, I think that would be a real problem in the efficacy of what you're trying to do here in the first place.
Well, I think it's a point well taken. I think all kinds of things could happen. You could have more legal arguments to this thing. But I think what we're trying to do here, just because it's so time-sensitive, we need to move this bill like it is, the substitute. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Mr. President.
Senator from Boone.
Speak against the amendment.
Go ahead, Senator.
I want to say I appreciate what the Senator from Polk is doing, and I think he's very clearly articulated why time is of the essence. I see the amendment as changing that timing and potentially making the legislation worthless. So for that reason, I speak against the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay, we're on the motion. The senator from second. Does any other senators wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I realize I'm going to lose. I'm going to lose big. I'm just curious if I'm going to have any other yeses with me. So I could withdraw it because I kind of know, but I'm curious to see if I'm going to be the sole person here. But I understand the arguments, everybody. I appreciate the hard work from the senator from Polk. I think this body did a great job on what we did on the congressional maps. I would like to continue to move that ball forward, and so to protect some of that work, that's my motivation here. And if anybody would like to join me in voting yes, I'm serving lunch outside my office. And oh, you're a great American. And with that, Mr. President, I close.
Senator from the second has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment number 1. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The noes appear to have it. The noes do have it. The amendment fails. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 773 with the committee substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed.
We're still on the that's my fault. We're still on the motion, Senator from Polk. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator, we are ready to close on the adoption motion.
I close.
Senator from Polk has moved that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 773 be adopted. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate Committee substitute is adopted. Now, Senator from Polk, you are recognized for the perfection motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 773 with the committee substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion. Senator from Polk, does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Polk has moved that the Senate Bill 773, as amended by the Senate committee substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will be in order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 450. We'll see if he has any better luck.
Senate bills for perfection, informal calendar, Senate Bill 450, Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 450 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion, Senator from the 2nd. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. President, for that gracious ruling. I now move that Senate Bill 450, be ordered, perfected, and printed. Mr. President, this is just a small little bill that deals with Fort Sumwalt School Board in St. Charles County. The population of O'Fallon, Missouri, where it's located, is topped over 70,000, and that triggered in our statutes that the school district that is contained in there has to then switch to six-year terms, and this is difficult to try to get people to do a six-year term, and so the school district has asked that we allow them to maintain their same terms. We've done this exemption before for the city of Columbia when they triggered this, and the city of Springfield before when they've triggered this. So it only affects the Fort Zumwalt School Board in O'Fallon, Missouri, and that's just what it does. Allows them to maintain their current rules on length of term for school board members. Gladly answer any questions.
You've heard the motion. Senator from the 2nd, does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from Franklin was the first one I saw seeing recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire the junior senator from St. Charles?
Senator from 23rd, do you yield to the senator from Franklin?
I do.
You yield, Senator. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. I just went after the horrible embarrassment that the senior senator from St. Charles just went through, based on the fact I assume that you guys didn't agree and everybody took your side. I just wanted to see. I know we never ask another senator how they're going to vote, but is the rift between you two going to continue on this
issue? I'm hoping that everyone will join me in supporting the senior senator from the 2nd legislation.
Thank you. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure because I didn't want him to have to suffer that embarrassment again.
I hate disagreeing with him. I really do.
Well, you know, the St. Charles people did go ahead and leave. I think maybe they were afraid that you two were going to kind of throw down.
I was real happy that they left prior to the vote on the bill.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, I was too. Because I happen to know that
I think their respect for the senator from the 2nd is still intact.
Right, and that's good, because I know that he hates to come in 2nd. There have been many times throughout my friendship with him where he's had to come in 2nd, and I know that he doesn't like that. So it's good that all those people didn't see that happen.
Nope. I'm going to go say great things about him upstairs at lunch.
Thank you for supporting his measure. I didn't want to see the same thing happen twice.
Thank you for the inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator from the 8th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Wish to inquire the senator from the 2nd.
Senator from the 2nd, do you yield?
Gladly.
I yield, Senator. Proceed.
Senator, I was thinking about offering an amendment to have these school board members file with us here in March. Are you acceptable to that amendment?
Let's see. They're going to file in March. The election is in April. So I don't think that would provide enough time. So if you wanted to move it back for the next time, you can move it back to maybe like...
I just wondered since we're moving when people will file, if that would be acceptable.
I believe that these people have already filed. They are aware that they could be under the six-year. They could be under all the school board candidates, and the existing school board are fine with this bill. That's just what we're asking to do.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on a motion, Senator from the 2nd. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from the 2nd has moved that Senate Bill 450 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 450 is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the House? And if there are, would you please have those read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read the messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Bill 1075, an act relating to pharmacies. Also, House Bill 1093, an act relating to a special Navy Cross license plate. Also, House Bill 1141, an act relating to the Don't Tread on Me license plate. Also, House Bill 1156, an act relating to the designation of a memorial highway, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
We're on the order of business reports of standing committees.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a report.
Please send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 773, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chairman.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent for the Senate to stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will be at ease. Senate back in session. Senator from Stoddard, what purpose are you seeking recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you refer Senate Bill 773 with the Senate Committee Substitute to Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight?
It will be so referred. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. I ask that you recognize me for an announcement.
Senator from the 23rd. On the order of business of announcements.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to be making a recess motion for the purpose of accepting the perfected version of Senate Bill 572. That will be the only reason for the recess. So we won't be doing any other official business.
We're on the order of business of announcements. Senator from Johnson, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Your hardworking education committee will start promptly at 3 o'clock today in the Senate lounge.
Thank you, Senator. I hope you got your homework done. Senator.
Thank you.
We're on the motion of announcements. Senator from the 15th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee on jobs, economic development, and local government will meet at 1 p.m. this day in the Senate lounge.
On the order of business of announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned until 4:30 p.m. Stand in recess until 4:30 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion of the Senate from the 23rd. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will be adjourned until 4:30 p.m. today. Recess. The Senate will be recessed until 4:30 today.